This is Bruce with another on-the-road edition of SportsLit 101 in downtown with Rich Kimball. This week we'll be taking a first look, to be followed up in 2 weeks, at the book God in the Stadium, Sports and Religion in America by the late Robert J. Higgs, who was known as Jack. Higgs was a longtime faculty member at East Tennessee State University and an early and important member of the Sport Literature Association. Published in 1995 by the University of Kentucky Press, God in the Stadium proved to be a prescient warning of the dangers Higgs perceived surrounding the then-growing fusion of religion and sports. The study is exhaustive and compelling, but to understand just what Higgs was examining, we need to revisit some themes we discussed before. Muscular Christianity was a movement with deep roots in our country in the 19th century that originated earlier in England and Scotland. In America, the movement gained public traction in the years following the Civil War, but was part of collegiate life far longer. In a nutshell, the idea behind the movement was this: men would become effeminate if they did not engage in hardy calisthenics and exercises, particularly those that would be useful as preparation for military duty and conflict. America would grow physically and morally weak without this dedication to exercise and military-style drilling. Manliness was a key word in the movement, defined by an image of an educated, athletic man who kept himself in shape and eschewed vices like gambling, excessive drinking, indolence. Women were not expected nor encouraged to follow as rigorous a routine, but were encouraged to undertake less stressful exercise such as moderate calisthenics, swimming, walking, and hiking, as their health would be better for them, especially for their childbearing years. For educational institutions, four of them, and their administrations and alumni, they were the most responsible for spreading this gospel. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and West Point in particular. Each institution took a slightly different approach to blending sports and academics, but all were highly influential in the movement. A common belief in the benefits of this activity by these institutions included the idea that students who had no free time were so scheduled with drilling, marching, exercising, studying military history, while also following a rigorous and regulated academic schedule, would have no time for vices such as drinking and gambling or consorting with women of low degree. Still, there was no one blueprint for this, and the mission and goals of each institution differed. And there were many differences within each institution between faculty, alumni, administration, and students regarding the importance of athletics, intercollegiate athletics, or intramural. Three institutions educated most of the influential clergy of the 19th century for three different Protestant denominations. Harvard was Episcopalian, Yale Methodist, Princeton Presbyterian. West Point, the fourth most important of these institutions, was influenced by all of them and had a generally more disparate student body. Additionally, the graduated clergy from each school spread out and away from the Northeast, in part to create new colleges in less populated areas, with Princeton's Presbyterians settling what was then known as the Old Southwest. Tennessee, Kentucky, and the Carolinas, or what we call today the Mid-South. Oddly enough, the heart of the SEC and ACC conferences. The movement was quite different in areas where college students came from rural places than it was in the hallowed Ivy League halls. A rawer form of Protestantism merged with the rowdier and bloodier sports favored by the Scots-Irish settlers of mid-Appalachia, and liquor was often included at, quote, sporting events, even those staged in conjunction with religious tent revivals. Perhaps this is the earliest example of tailgating. But how did these new colleges and the stalwarts of the Northeast further the idea of muscular Christianity? Here's where it gets complicated. The Ivies wanted to codify sports and to make intercollegiate athletics conform to their idea of the gentleman athlete without losing, quote, the manliness factor. Larger-than-life personalities like Theodore Roosevelt sought to control the narrative and the progress of sports. Here we need to note two things. There was no respect for professional athletes, even boxers, as pro sports were associated with gambling, then seen as a deplorable vice. Oh, how those things have changed. Secondly, as immigration patterns changed, a heightened xenophobia led the powerful to embrace racial and religious prejudices as mainstream. The rise of the YMCA and its startling growth during the 19th and early 20th century, an institution itself defined as being Protestant, exacerbated this problem. The Y grew, and as it did, gained great influence over all athletics, even collegiate competitions. But above all, it was a change in theology that began the slide toward the fusion of religion and sports that we've come to see today. That discussion will be for a later day, but in short, the idea of Jesus as the shepherd who tends to his flock with mercy and care and loves all morphs into the knight who leads his forces to victory over the infidels and heretics, the latter being any Christian denomination that does not cleave to Protestant orthodoxy. This is a complicated process, but its effect on sports has been profound. Higgs wrote God in the Stadium shortly after several key political events, one of which is particularly worth noting. That was the sudden affection shown by former President Nixon for Billy Graham, who became the Quaker-raised Nixon's spiritual advisor. Both espoused a belief in the importance of sports, especially football. Nixon's love of football went so far as to his awarding a national championship trophy to the University of Texas, though the pre-playoff era polls were not in agreement that this was the case. As regular listeners know, my wife and I are driving back from Florida, where we attended my niece's wedding. On the way down, I noticed as we approached that stretch of Interstate 81 that passes quickly from Pennsylvania to Maryland to West Virginia to Virginia, what seems like the blink of an eye, how advertised the marriage of college sports and religion has become. License plate holders and bumper stickers for Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Virginia, Richmond, William & Mary, in that area, and then further on, North Carolina, North Carolina State, Furman, Elon, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida, Florida State, all joined the parade. Many of the same vehicles sported signs or stickers for the Panthers, Falcons, Jaguars, as well as hordes of high school teams. Higgs foresaw this idolization of sport and its fusion with religion, which in itself is heretical. In 2 weeks, we will dive deeper into the current state of affairs and see how various institutions have used the savior knight figure to enhance their athletic profile. Again, the book is God in the Stadium, Sports and Religion in America by Robert J. Higgs, H-I-G-G-S, from the University of Kentucky. See you next time.